We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we study another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open the meaning of Scripture and reveal the treasures which are in it to us as only you can do. Strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have mentioned before that the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit's book. And many of the things that the Son of God did during his 3 years of ministry here on this earth are repeated in parallel form in the book of Acts. And we have a real good example of that this morning. There's a treasure hidden here, but we're going to have to dig for it. But we're used to doing that. So what I'd like to do is start the sermon with reading through the text, just make a few comments on it, and then take a rabbit trail to discover a very precious stone. So when Paul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, which is a natural thing. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. So they have to be persuaded, and you can see why they would be a little skeptical about all this. This is the guy that's been killing them off, right, left and in between. Maybe he wants to get better acquainted with us so we can do some more damage. And they hated him all the more because he was a traitor, if what he said was true. But Barnabas, that's a name I want you to remember this morning, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Now, the apostles are standing on the same ground that the one they hate is standing, because both have seen Jesus after his resurrection from the dead. And that's a qualification of being a disciple. So Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So the apostles would be more apt to accept that. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. That's an interesting phrase. Coming in and going out. Not going out and coming in. If we're living at home and we go out to work, we go out of the home, and when work is done, we come back in. Well, Jesus did much of his work in Jerusalem, but he didn't stay there. He a lot of times was out in Bethany, and he went in at Jerusalem and then out. In the morning, out in the evening. In, out, in, out. That's not a bad thing to follow. And so now they're doing it here with Saul. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So the point here is that Saul is now a marked man. And he's reaping what he had sowed. He's the one that had killed many others. Now they're trying to kill him. So what comes from the heart goes to the heart. And when his brother, the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Tarsus is where Saul was born. Now he's going back home. That sometimes happens. When you get rejected everybody else, you go back home. Usually you get rejected there too. But anyway, that's the way it happens. So when the brethren knew, they started at Tarsus. And when Jesus was given a one-way ticket out of a town, it's very seldom that he ever came back. And for Saul now, it's going to be 14 years before he would go back to what's called the holy city. and then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And it seems like it was because Saul was stopping to kill so many people. And now all of a sudden, there's rest in the land. And they were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. Notice how the gospel is spreading from into the whole world. Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and now Saul is going to be going out to the Gentile nations. And many of the epistles in the New Testament will be wrote by him. Okay, taking a little rabbit trail. There are two men in this part of history of Scripture, two men in particular that are old men and on their way into the fiery pit. And one is Nicodemus, and the other is Gamaliel. We're well acquainted with Nicodemus, but it starts out in the famous third chapter of John in one of the great night scenes of the Bible. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And when we get to Gamaliel, he's a Pharisee also, by the way. So the same came to Jesus by night under the cover of darkness. And the Holy Spirit is telling us more than that the moon and stars were out. His soul was covered with darkness also. And he was coming to the light unbeknown to him. So the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. How'd they know that? Not because of what he preached. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So they're impressed by the miracles. Not a good sign. A miracle faith never saved anybody. It's got to be through the word. Jesus answered and said to him, now here's the young teacher, young person, talking to the old rabbi, the seminary professor. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What are you talking about? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, here comes a haymaker whenever Jesus introduces it with these words, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water in Scripture many, many times is a symbol type of the Word of God. And this is what Jesus is getting at. And the Spirit, that's a capital S, it's the Holy Spirit working through the Word. That's what he's telling the old aged professor. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it pleaseth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? You better check your heart. Now there's two things that can happen when the Word of God is preached and taught correctly, and that is it either saves men's souls or it makes them angry. And Nicodemus did not leave the house and walk back out into the darkness of night as an angry man. He was perplexed. He'd heard something that he'd never heard before. And he has a lot of thinking and research to do. And you know the rest of the story, that there was a time when Nicodemus was sitting in the council with the rest of his Pharisees, and they were criticizing Jesus. It was a night meeting. Pharisees liked secret night meetings. And Nicodemus peeped up and said, "Well, is it our custom to accuse somebody before we even calls him in and talks with him and see what he's got to say? Is that what we're supposed to do?" And the Pharisees turned on Nicodemus. "Are you one of his disciples too? Go check. You find out. No good comes out of Nazareth." And then they got angry and they all went home. That's the second time we heard of Nicodemus. The third time we hear of Nicodemus is at the foot of the cross. And he went with Joseph of Arimathea to take the dead body of Jesus down from the cross, anoint it, and give it a burial. And this is before Jesus rose from the dead, remember? Nicodemus was risking his career. Who do you think is going to be sitting in the chief seat of the scribes and elders come Monday morning after they had seen Nicodemus take the body down from the cross on Friday? You can read between the lines on this one, and it's not difficult. So here was an old man, one step, if it were, away from the fiery pit, and he was saved by the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. We can't, but the Holy Spirit can. So now we come to Gamaliel, and we're going to do some research on this, and we're going to dig into it because there's a precious gem hidden here that we're not going to find unless we do under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, which we've already prayed for. So we're starting in Acts 22, and there is a reference to Gamaliel in this section. Acts 22, verses 1 through 9. And this is Peter talking, only he's been renamed from Saul. So let's not get this mixed up. If we say Saul or if we say Peter, we're talking about the same man. Yeah, two men, two names. So he's saying this: "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." They brought accusations against him. And he says, "Okay, now listen to what, now hear my side of the story. Listen to what I have to say." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. He's talking our language. He's one of us. So let's listen to him. And so Peter, or Saul, says this: "I persecuted," not Peter, Saul, Paul, let's get that right, Peter and or Saul and Gamaliel. I get this right yet. So Saul is talking to Gamaliel. "I am verily a man which am a Jew," okay, "one of yours," I can talk your language, okay, "born in Tarsus," that's where he's going to get sent back after a while to save his life, "born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel." Remember that. So Saul was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. Well, let's read it. Keep going. According to the perfect, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, Gamaliel was the best teacher out there. He knew the law of God front and back, forward and backward, knew it all. And he taught it that way. And so he was sitting there talking to Saul, among other people, and was zealous toward God. He was living his life as a child of God. At least that's what he thought. As ye are all this day. Okay, so you're in the same boat as Gamaliel. And I persecuted this way unto the death. Well, they knew that. Binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders. If you want to check what I'm saying, go ask them. They'll tell you. From whom also I received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto the Jerusalem for to be punished. Now, I know this is repetition, but remember, these guys are listening. They're angry at Paul. They want to kill him, and they're listening to this. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. Oh, here are the people that find all sorts of mistakes in the King James Version. Find a big one here. Here it says that these people that were with Saul heard not the voice. And further on, Saul is going to say they did hear the voice. That's a contradiction, right? One says he didn't hear it, one says he did hear it. No contradiction. One means they heard a sound, but they didn't understand it. And the other just says they didn't understand the voice. So there's no contradiction. They heard a sound, yes, they heard that, but they didn't understand it. And so in a certain sense, they didn't hear the voice. They didn't hear the voice, they heard a sound. So this isn't rocket science. They heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Okay, now this is recorded in Acts chapter 22. We're not in Acts chapter 22. But we jumped ahead for one word, and that word is Gamaliel. Saul had a very, very close relationship with Gamaliel. Now we go back to Acts 5, and we're starting with verse 34. And here the Holy Spirit takes us into the counsel of the ungodly. So they stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. Had his doctor's degree. Oh, that's meaningful, isn't it? A doctor's degree? Yeah, he must be pretty smart. So he had a doctor's degree, had it held in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. This is Gamaliel. What is he doing? Some of the apostles, a few of them, were there being tried. And so Gamaliel comes out and he says, separate these guys, put them in another room so they can't hear what I'm going to say. That's odd. So why did he do that? So anyway, he commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And then, when the apostles were out of hearing, he said to the people, him, here's the Pharisee that's got the doctor's degree. Okay. Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. He's giving them a warning. What warning did they need? They didn't do anything wrong. Well, that's what he's saying, though. Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. Remember from the reading we had in Acts 22? That one of the men that's being tried here is Saul. And Saul was one of the students of Gamaliel, and more than that, he was the number one student. He was the best student that Gamaliel had ever given out. And Saul bragged about that. I was a head of my class under this teacher that you revere so much. So remember that. For before those days, now this is Gamaliel talking to his fellow Pharisees again. And he's got clout. Before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, of whom a whole number of men, about 400, joined themselves. This is a big movement. Who was slain, that's how it ended. Somebody killed him. Who was slain of men, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. So this powerful leader was killed, and all of his people fled. Well, that sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Except Thutis didn't rise from the dead again, and his disciples didn't come back. That's the difference. But there's a parallel here. You can't help but see it. And after this rose up Judas. How we got? Here's a Judas again. It's not the same Judas Iscariot, but he's got the same name. And the association is there. Everybody in the city knew that Judas had betrayed Jesus, repented of himself, threw down the money, and went and hung himself. That spread. So this man, then after this man rose up Judas of Galilee, it's a different Judas, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now comes the application. And now I say unto you, what advice do you think the aged Gamaliel, doctor of the Jewish law, what advice do you think he's going to get? To give to his fellow Pharisees who are out to kill Saul and the other apostles. What advice is he going to get? This is what he said. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. That must have shocked them half to death. The great Gamaliel. Saying this, I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them go. Why can he say that? For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. If these guys aren't preaching and teaching the truth of God, if they're just giving the words of men, it's all going to fall apart. You're not going to have to kill them. They're going to be wiped out some other way. So don't do it. But, okay, for if this counsel, the work of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, like they claim it is, ye cannot overthrow it, no matter what you do, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And they agreed. They agreed. And when they had, but listen to what they did. They added a little bit to it. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Have you ever heard any better godly advice than what Gamaliel gave to all of these Pharisees? Refrain from these men and let them go. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you can't overthrow it no matter what you do. And the chief priests and elders and scribes and Pharisees had tried everything they could, and it didn't work because he rose from the dead. So, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Okay, so to look a little bit here at something else. Realizing that when Jesus was in his ministry for 3 years on this earth, he did many miracles, many wonderful works, which if all of them were written, even the world would not be able to hold their books. But one of the greatest miracles he did through the power of his Holy Spirit was to save the soul of old Nicodemus, who came to him in darkness of night. Here was an older man who knows how few steps left until the grave. He still hadn't been reborn again. He didn't even have the ABCs of the religion that he thought he taught. And he was pulled like a brand from the fire by the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. This happened in the days of Jesus. Now, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, they were sorrowful. He told them, it is good for you that I go away.
Well, how can that be?
Well, if I go away, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. If I don't go, I'm not going to send it. Well, okay, so they had a little bit of the Holy Spirit. They had first fruits of the Spirit, just like you and I do. But they were going to get a lot more when Jesus left and wasn't there with them, physically speaking anymore, doing all the miracles. And he sends back the Holy Spirit to dwell within them and duplicate everything Jesus had done. So let's draw our conclusion here. Here you had Nicodemus, who was saved by Jesus, and here you have Gamaliel, parallel with Nicodemus in many ways, and he is saved through the work of the Holy Spirit through Saul. Two old men that were ready to go down to the pit were saved. And you know, a good teacher, a really super good teacher, has students that outshine others. Not that you love them more, maybe, but you have the ones that really get it, following in your footsteps. And that's what Gamaliel was, or what he had with Saul. Saul was Gamaliel's number one student. And they had social associations together. This happens in our own day, too. There's a professor. His name is... Is it Gershowitz? Where? Student of I'm getting a note here from my wife.
Student that did graduate.
Yeah. There was a law professor in our days, a law professor. He's old now. He's retired. But he was teaching students law. And one of his students was Ted Cruz. And from political scenes, you know who these two were. One was an old man, retired. The other was his favorite student that was doing great things in the field of law. And so these two men had a close relationship with each other, and it was the relationship of a professor with a very bright and willing student. That's what it was. And that's what, to me, that's exactly what you've got here. And here you see the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus isn't here to save this man anymore, physically speaking. But the older guy is, Gamaliel is. Gamaliel is. So we're going to do a little bit of rabbit trail here. There's another message here that is hidden. Well, this one was hidden too. You had to dig for it. And there will be those that deny it and say, it's not what you say, it's not true. Well, let them go their way. So this, we've already uncovered a very precious gem. Now let's look for another one. And this one isn't so easy to find. We're going to look at Acts chapter 14. And we're going to be starting with verse 8. And Saul is going to be the center of attention here from the human side of things. So there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Kind of a life must that have been. The same heard Paul, remember that's Saul, now he's called Paul, we're a little further down the road, and the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had the faith to be healed. Okay, how could Paul know that? The answer is, it was a special revelation from the Holy Spirit. Remember, there are things happening in the first generation of what we call the New Testament Christian Church. There are things happening that never have happened before in the visible church and never will happen again. They parallel what happened in Genesis 1 and 2, where there was a creative process going on, and God created things out of nothing. That's never happened again. And God created things in a going way. Adam was created not as a little baby in the womb of his mother. He was created as a full-grown human being. And Eve was created that way also. But these things were happening in Genesis 1 and 2, and they stopped after that. Now you've got in the first generation of what we call the church, the visible church, things are happening parallel with Genesis. And the apostles were able sometimes to look into a person's heart and tell whether they believed or whether they didn't. And sometimes they could speak in tongues, like in Pentecost. And so these things were happening, and they're not happening anymore. If they are, they're fake. So anyway, okay, so Saul knew this, that this man had the faith, and said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Okay, as I'm reading this, see if you can spot the hidden gem. It's not easy. See if you can spot it. And when the people saw what Paul, that's Saul, what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." Now they think he's a god. And they called Barnabas. Okay, remember this. Paul and Barnabas are together. Remember that. That's a key to opening this lock. So they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul they called Mercurius, Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. So now the priest of Jupiter is going to get into the picture. He maybe sees there's money to be made here, I don't know. But then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Who are they going to sacrifice to? Paul and Barnabas. They thought that it was these gods personified, which when the apostles, now it names them again, Barnabas and Paul, remember that, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? Why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities, these false gods you're worshiping, unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with good food and gladness. And with these things, scarce restrained they the people that had not done sacrifice unto them," that they shouldn't do. Okay. Continuing. "And then came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, the disciples stood round about him, as they did. He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Okay, do you see the problem? Do you see the miracle, the tremendous miracle? All through this chapter, Barnabas and Paul, which is called Saul, it's the same person, but we're calling him Paul here. Barnabas and Paul were together during the whole chapter. But Paul was stoned and Barnabas wasn't. How did he get away with it? How did it happen that they stoned the one, but they didn't stone the other? I mean, they were side by side. They hated both of them equally. How did it happen that Barnabas didn't get stoned? Well, we think of the words of God to David, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. And that's true of you and I in many ways, in many situations. That was true also of Barnabas. He was standing right next to Saul, but he didn't get hit even with one little stone. Why did God do that? Well, if you had asked Paul, Paul would have told you, "I'm getting what I deserved. When Stephen was being stoned, I was the one that was master of ceremonies, and I agreed to it. And now I'm reaping what I sowed. Now I'm being stoned." there is a truth here that we've mentioned before, but hardly any of us really realize it. Everybody is going to reap what you sow one way or the other. And this goes with children of the God too. When we sin against God, there's a consequence that comes of this. It's a judgment. We reap what we sow, only the difference is, if you're one of God's elect, you repent and you trace your problem back to the Heavenly Father, who you know is doing this for your good, and he's in full control over it, and you're being richly blessed by it. But there, and you know, when you do that, there's a certain satisfaction of being disciplined by the Heavenly Father. It's amazing. And here this is being taught, but it's so hard to find. It's so hard to find. It can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And some people, or I shouldn't say some people, I do, some others do, believe that Gamaliel was converted. And that he's going to be with Nicodemus in the afterlife also. Two old men that made it right at the last time. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. And then there's another thing too, to end on this thought. Whenever things go wrong, as far as it, humanly speaking, as you look at Christ and his ministry and his kangaroo court and his crucifixion, when things go terribly wrong, there's always the Father behind it, and the Father always honors his beloved Son. Everything that happens ends up honoring the Father and the Son, and it's for the good of his bride. Let's never forget that.